this morning. Our message is entitled Created to Worship. Our first reference we're going to look at is Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Please open your Bibles there, Revelation 4, 11. And if you're taking notes, you can put on the top of your page one of the most important things that we have to remember: we are created to worship. And so with that, let's pray and let's get into the Word together. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your love and your grace. I ask God that you would speak through your word to your people, that your Holy Spirit would come and anoint this place and this time. In Jesus' name, God's kids say, amen. So I want to ask a question of you. How many of you have ever had a crisis in your life? Anybody have one? Right. If you're a young person in the room, you've had finals, you know what I'm talking about. Right? If you've ever gotten that bad grade back, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell my parents? I mean, that's a crisis in our life. Well, sometimes we have a crisis at work. We have a difficulty in our relationship. Moms, dads, we're trying to work things out with kids. Husbands, working things out with wives. Wives, working things out with husbands. And things get difficult in life. A bill comes due you didn't expect. The water heater breaks. The car breaks down. Things happen in life, right? But when that happens, have you ever gotten to that point where you're like, what do I do now? You don't know what I'm talking about, right? Everything falls apart. You're like, God, what do I do now? What do I do? And many people are just out there. Think about all the people out there right now. They're just asking that question. They have no answers for that. But what about this? Have you ever had a person come and talk to you, and they're struggling with their crisis in life, and as they're struggling with their crisis in life, they look at you and they go, can you just tell me what life is all about? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? I just don't understand. Everything is so difficult. Why are things so hard at school? Why are things so hard at college? Why are things so hard at home? Why are things so hard where I work? Why is it so difficult? And you know, I want to tell you something right now. And if we can get our mind wrapped around this, it's so going to help us as we move through the difficulties and the trials of life, is this. The answer to what do I do now in a crisis and the answer to why am I here are the same answer. We are here because we have been created to worship God. See, when things get bad in our life, we have a tendency to run away from the cross when we should run to the cross, get on our hands and knees, and just lift our voice to God and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this alone. How many of you understand that you can't do this alone? How many of you have tried to do it alone and realized that's not going to work, right? We need God. Well, we were created to worship God. Every one of us in this room right now, we were created to worship God. So as we talk about why we worship, we have to ask the question why worship is important. So if you're taking notes, and over the next couple weeks, I'm going to give you a couple other things to write down. But the number one thing I want you to remember this is this. Why is worship important? Because we were created to worship. You and I were created to worship, and because we were created to worship, when a crisis hits, we should be worshiping. When we have the question, what am I supposed to do now, or what do I do at this point, we need to worship. When people ask us, what's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to worship the Creator. We are the created. And so if you would look with me at Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 11, we're actually going to use this verse to start with next week as we talk about the worthiness of God and that He is worthy to be worshipped. But listen to what it says. It says, you are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, it's not that we give Him power. This is the fact that we're worshiping God who is worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all glory. And He is the one who has all power. And He's worthy to have all power. And He's worthy to have all honor as we worship Him. But He goes on and says this, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Did you know that you exist because God willed it? God willed it, therefore you exist. You exist and were created because God willed you to exist. And think about this, and you know, kind of young people, get your mind wrapped around this one. Some of you may have been drugged here this morning. You don't know why you're here, but your friend said, oh, you need to come check out the weird fat bald guy. But whatever, But you have to understand that you're here this morning and there is no such thing as a coincidence in the kingdom of God. If you are here this morning, God desired and God willed it that you're here this morning, right now in this place. God desires a relationship with you as well, and he wants you to know how to have that relationship with him. God has desired you to be here. Now listen, you might be here for the very first time. You may have never been in church before, and I want you to understand something. I can't move past this without explaining this. God wants to have a relationship with you. God does not want you to be separate from him. But see, what happens is sin separates us from God. What is a sin? I'm going to explain it. It's really simple. Raise your hand if you've ever told a lie. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you just started. Because the issue is, you have told a lie, and every one of us have told a lie. So here's the issue that you need to remember. If you have told a lie, God's word says, thou shalt not lie in the Ten Commandments. That is God's standard. James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 10, that if you break one of God's laws, you break them all. You don't chip it, you break it. So here's the deal. We are all guilty because of one lie of breaking God's holy commandment, his standard for righteousness. And the scripture says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's all of us. Now, what happens if we die today and we stand before God? We are guilty because we've broken his law. Unless we have received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, who died in our place to take the punishment of hell away from us that we might have eternal life. That is an important piece of information for you to realize that if you're here today, that's the message that God wants you to have, that you can be saved, because the scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are saved, you need to remember that you were created and redeemed to worship him. So listen as we go on. It says, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. There is one thing that God does not possess, that we can give unto him, that gives him great joy. And I believe some of the greatest joy that the Lord can receive is when he receives our worship. It's not about what we're doing for the Lord, it's about our worshiping the Lord. Let me explain this. Do you understand that God does not need our worship? How many of you guys understand he doesn't need it? There are angels in heaven right now. There are a bunch of them. They have six wings, they're covered with eyes on the inside and the out, and they fly around. They're flying around the throne of heaven, and every time they look at God, they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And then they look at God again, and they go, oh, oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is to come. And they do it. How long do they do it? They do it forever. It is eternal praise to an eternal and holy God. Now, when we enter into worship, we enter into what's already going on in heaven. But please understand, there's something that God does not possess, and he will not take it from us. It is our worship. See, God does not possess our worship. Our worship is something that is given. God does not take it from us. Do you understand? God does not take worship from us, because love is a choice. We may choose to worship God. So I just want to share this with you. If you're a young person in here, and guys, you know, there's that girl that you're thinking you want to take to the prom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she's nice and everything. And you're going to go up to her and you're going to go, how you doing? You know? And you say, how you doing? And you pull out a 45 and say, you're going to prom with me? First of all, it's a really bad way to ask. But you understand, you're forcing a decision. How many of you guys are tracking with me on that? And by the way, guys, if you go up to a girl, don't be going, how you doing? She's going to run the other direction. Girls, if some guy goes, how you doing? Run the other direction, okay? I'm just telling you, you know? But listen, you have to understand that for all of us, there is a place where we are giving of our worship to God. He doesn't take our worship. We honor him by giving in our worship. We voluntarily lift up our voices. Look, nobody's forcing us to sing. Nobody forces us to lift our hands. Nobody forces us to clap to the Lord. None of us are being forced to do that. And I've been in churches where it's forced and it's really uncomfortable. And we're not forcing that. It's just something that happens. We choose to worship God. We choose to give him of our worship. And I do believe, and I with my whole heart, that this is something that brings great honor and great joy to the heart of God, even outside of the things that we do for him. Isaiah chapter 43, starting in verse 21, says this. Isaiah 43, 21 says, he says, but you are a, that's Peter, my chosen people. He says, my chosen people who I have formed for myself that may they may proclaim my praises. This people, his chosen people, Israel. He says, this people I have formed for myself that they may proclaim my praises. He says, these are my people, and my people are to proclaim my praises. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, if you're taking notes, says this, starting in verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. How many of you remember darkness? Remember being in darkness? You remember that? How many of you remember the day you came into his marvelous light? You came to salvation. How many of you realize that he's worthy of praise because we're saved? He's worthy of adoration. He's worthy that from our lips would come forth his praise. Why? He saved us. He saved us from darkness and destruction and has brought us into his marvelous light because we've simply called upon the name of the Lord. And because of that, we are men and women, saved children of God, filled with the Spirit of God, who've experienced the love of God and the power of God and realized that our life, we exist because of his will, and we exist to bring him praise. We exist to bring him praise. Now, please understand, I'm not talking about the praise the Lord person. You know what I'm talking about? That person you hear in Walmart going, oh, it's in my size, praise the Lord. How good, you know. Oh, look, it's on sale, 2 for $3. Okay, you know. And you know, I'm not talking about that kind of praising. I'm talking about the real deal. I'm not talking about the fake praise the Lord. I'm talking about the you get up in the morning and you realize that you have been saved from the destruction of hell. You've been saved from darkness and you are now in the marvelous light of God. And because of that, you understand that you who were once not a people are now a people, as he goes on to say there in verse 10. And those who have not obtained mercy, now you've obtained mercy. And because you are now a people, because you've obtained mercy, now you are those who bring forth the praise of God. Is our Savior worthy of our praise? Our Savior is worthy of our praise. And so we bring him praise continually. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 15, says. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. When do we do it? Continually. We offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We give thanks to his name, our Savior, Jesus, for everything that he's given us. Church, listen so very carefully. It is important that we are men and women who bring forth the praises of his name from our lips, because he has saved us. A.W. Tozer said this. A.W. Tozer says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let me say that one more time. A.W. Tozer said this. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So let me ask you a question. You and I have to ask this. Are we enjoying God? Are we enjoying God, or are we just merely working for God? Are we enjoying God, or are we just working for God? Please, if you would, turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 38 through 42 for just a few minutes, because we see an example of two women, both who sat at the feet of Jesus, but then one became very distracted with the issue of worship and sitting at the feet of Jesus, because she got to this place where she was spending more time, you know, working instead of enjoying the Lord. And so Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says, now it happened when they had entered a certain village that a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she and her sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was distracted by much serving, or with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I just wanted to make sure you understood how it was said. It wasn't said in that smooth, you know, radio tone. You know, she was agitated. And Jesus answered and says to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. So listen, for all of you younger Bible students, for all of you dads who have honey-do lists, for all the moms who have, you know, laundry that the kids should be doing anyway, so I want to share something with you. The focus of this passage is not that people should be unconcerned with household chores. So don't go home, and when your parents ask you to do something, say, I'm just sitting at the feet of Jesus. That is not the application of the passage. Just don't want you to go home and be doing that. Just, you know, I'm just having my Jesus time. I'll get to it. Nah, I can't do it. You know, don't do that. Listen, this is about a proper attitude towards Jesus and a proper attitude about listening to and obeying the words of Jesus. It is a picture of our worship sitting at the feet of Jesus. So now back to verse 38. Let's take a look. It said, now it happened as they, Jesus and the disciples, they're traveling, and they entered a certain village, Bethany, which is about 3 miles from Jerusalem, and this that we know this from John chapter 11, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Church, did you know that we have to welcome Jesus in our home? Jesus should be welcome in our home, and we need to make sure we're doing that. It's not just about Jesus being here, it's Jesus being at home. Jesus being at home and in the dining room, in the kitchen, in the living room, in the family room, in the bedrooms of our lives. It's about Jesus being in every part of our homes and in our lives. And so she welcomes him into the house as we should. And she and her sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard the word. So in the home, they're sitting and hearing the word. And that should be something that's happening in our homes, especially in our family worship times. But he says, she goes on and it says this, but Martha... But Martha, this means they're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Both of them are there. We always have this picture that, you know, Mary's sitting and Martha's like banging around in the kitchen. No, they were both sitting. But Martha was distracted with much serving. So she became distracted with much serving and she approached him. Now she approached him with a complaint. Have you ever approached God that way? How many of you have ever approached God with a complaint? It's like prayer time and you come to the Lord going, we need to talk about the children you gave me. Right, you know what I'm talking about, right? We have a tendency to come in and we want to complain to the Lord. Listen, the scripture tells us that when we are to pray, and we see this in both Matthew and Luke, it's called the disciples' prayer. We refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But see, remember something, when we approach God, we start, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Notice it starts with worship. God is holy. God is worthy of praise. See, even our prayer life starts that way. So you don't go to God with complaints. You don't go to God with a list of stuff you want. He is not a vending machine. How many of you have ever been in the vending machine prayer meeting? Have you ever been there? Right? You're in a prayer meeting and, you know, and people are just like asking God for this thing and that thing and I want a new truck and my snowmobile needs some work. It's like, come on, man. Let's worship him because he's holy. Let's worship him because he saved us. Let's start there. Well, she comes with a complaint, and we often do the same thing, so we shouldn't. And she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, you tell her to help me. She's sitting in your feet, and you know, obviously you need to tell her because she's wrong in what she's doing. And Jesus goes, Martha, Martha, Martha. Right? I find it interesting when Jesus repeats your name. Right? My children each have 4 names, so I can calm down. I'll let you think about that one for a minute. But listen, Jesus answered and said to her, he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled. You are anxious. You are anxious about many things. It wasn't just that her sister wasn't helping. was part of what she was dealing with. She was anxious about many things. But he says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. That one thing, the thing that is needed, another way to look at it is the thing that is better is the Word of God. It's sitting at the feet of the Word of God, and we are to give great and high priority to listening to the Word of God. We should be men and women that hear the Word of God and understand this, that listening to the Word of God, what we are doing right now, is an act of worship. Many people have this idea in their mind that when the music stops, the worship stops. That is incorrect. On every level, what we are doing right now is worship. We are sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he said, this is better, and it will not be taken away. This is worship. Did you know that when myself or someone else says, hey, would you greet someone around you with the love of Jesus? Did you know that that is an act of worship? Because ultimately for us as the church, we are to love God and love one another. We are to be loving God and to love one another. Church, I will say it 1,000 times if I say it 1 time. The church, we are to be loving God and loving one another. And in that, please understand, what does that do? That fulfills every word of this book. When we love God and we love one another. And so here we are now sitting in worship. This is an act of worship. You're busy taking notes. Guess what you're doing? You're worshiping. You're sitting at the feet of Jesus and you're learning. So Jesus informs Martha, says, hey, the word, that's not gonna be taken away from her. Jesus here also provides some wisdom for us. And I wanna share this with you. If you are a teacher in the church, if you are part of the discipleship school, if you're a young person here, by the way, I want to encourage you to be part of the school of discipleship. There are many things that God can use to help establish you and ground you in your walk with Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that. But listen, if you're involved in the school of discipleship, if you're serving in the church in any way, if you have a desire to serve God as a pastor, a worship leader, a children's ministry, it doesn't matter. If you have a desire to serve God, and it doesn't matter if you're 10 or 100, it doesn't matter your age, listen, this is something that happens. It is all too common for people in the service of Christ to be drawn away from 3 very important and crucial areas. Listen, if you would. We get drawn away from, 1, the Word of God. 2 is we get drawn away from worship. And 3 is we get drawn away from what I say is waiting. It's our prayer time, our devotion time in prayer to the Lord. So we get pulled away from those 3 W's, from the word, from worship, and from waiting. We get pulled away from those things. And why do we get pulled away from those things? Well, because we get really busy when we're serving the Lord. See, ironically, there is an epidemic that goes on among preachers of the word, and this is terrifying to me, that ministers of the gospel will often admit that the word is not the center of their devotion or of their ministry. How many of you think that's a frightening statement? I think it's a frightening statement because how can you say a preacher of the word not having the word as the center of his devotional life? Because he's supposed to be preaching the word. He's supposed to be sharing the word. But yet, in his own personal life and devotion life and his ministry, the word is not the center. The word needs to be the center because Jesus is the center. Jesus is the most important person in the church. And what do we know of Jesus? In the beginning was the word. John 1:1. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that? That's Jesus, the word, Jesus, the center of the church. See, the reason they cite for saying, well, the word is not the center of my devotion life, it's not the center of my ministry, is because I'm too busy serving Jesus. Say what? You're so busy serving Christ that you don't have time to spend time with Christ? That's broken. That's messed up. Youth pastors, missionaries, executives of Christian organizations, and church leaders admit to this syndrome very often. the programs and the unending needs are so pressing that the reading and the hearing of the Word of God and waiting on the Lord in prayer and devotion and worship is neglected. And that should never be the case. Martha got up from the seat and she got so distracted with serving. We need to not be in that place. Martha's here, she's distracted with the serving of the Lord, and she misplaces the priority of simply being with the Lord, something her sister Mary had chosen to do. Let's not let the busyness of ministry keep us from communion with God. We can't let that happen. Now, there's another application in that, by the way. We can't let the busyness of life keep us from communion with God. The busyness of our home and our work schedule and you know, hey, soccer moms, you know what it's like, you know? It's like we go to this thing and then that thing, and that's like you just kind of feel like you're a taxi cab for your kids. And all the stuff our kids are involved in and all the stuff that we're involved in as adults and all the things that happen, and all of a sudden we get to the place we go, am I spending time at the feet of Jesus? Am I spending time with intimacy with God? Have I forgotten the Word? Have I forgotten to worship? Have I forgotten to wait on the Lord in prayer and devotion? Has that happened to me? And you know, so I'm going to leave you with some things to ask yourselves and for me to ask myself when it comes to this idea. Remember, we were created to worship God, but it's so easy for us to get distracted with the busyness of life, even the busyness of ministry, where all of a sudden our worship begins to fade. So, number one, we can ask ourselves this question. We can ask ourselves this: are we workers or worshipers of God? Are we working for the Lord or are we worshiping Him? Here's the second thing that we can ask ourselves. Are we laborers for the Lord or are we lovers of the Lord? And I'm going to tell you, if you're a lover and a worshiper of God, there will be work and labor that comes naturally out of that, but the priority is set straight that you love God and you worship God first, and then out of that abundance of relationship comes the work and the labor that we do for the Lord. Here's the third question. Is our life marked by a sense of duty or is it devotion to God? I do what I do because I have my devotion to God. I am devoted to Him and I desire to love Him and do those things. And so with that, those three ideas, it kind of comes to this kind of a wrap-up idea is this. Are the actions of our life, all the actions of our life, are they the actions of our Christian experience, the Christian life that we live? Is everything that we do, is it balanced with the adoration of God? Because He has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That from my lips would be proclaiming His praises. And because of what He's done for me, therefore I will serve Him. But I do it out of love. I do it out of devotion. I do it out of worship. I do it out of adoration. I never do it out of duty. I do not do it out of labor. I do not do it just to be seen. I do it because I desire to honor God with my life. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come out, and we're going to close and worship together. But as they come out, I want you to remember this. Please remember this. You and I are created to worship. And I've mentioned it before. The voice God gave you, that's the one He wants to hear. You may think God might have a hearing problem in that case, but He doesn't. God wants to hear the voice He's given you because the voice He's given you is sweeter than the voices of angels. Because the voice He's given you is encapsulated in the son and the daughter that He has redeemed. And as He has redeemed you, as He has redeemed myself, He calls out to us and says, I love you. I have redeemed you. I've taken you out of darkness into into marvelous light. Come into my light and let us sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's not forsake that time with Jesus. See, there are so many people who serve the Lord that, and it's a habit. We have to be really careful, especially with our young people as they start to serve the Lord. And hey, teenagers, you should know, you start getting responsibility and serving the Lord. It's really easy to serve the Lord and be busy and not come and sit at the feet of Jesus and worship in this room. But when you're serving in the children's ministry or you're serving in worship, whatever you're doing as a young person, you have to understand something. And those of us who are older, whatever we do, we need to be men and women who are sitting and we are receiving from Jesus. We don't want to be just serving, because what happens if we just serve, we begin to dry up because we leak. And we need the outpouring and the filling of God and His Word and His Spirit in our lives. Father in heaven, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you that you have redeemed us. I thank you that you have taken us from darkness and you've taken us into your marvelous light. That, Lord, we are your own special people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, that we might bring forth the praises of him who has called us. And, Lord, may we continually be those who have the praises of God on our lips, because, God, you created us to do that very, very thing. Lord, I want to pray for those that are here, Lord, whether they're young or they're old. Lord, I want to pray that we would be men and women who would know what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus, because when we sit at the feet of Jesus, those things will never be taken from us. May we be a church that is refreshed because, Jesus, you are the center. Because, Jesus, you're the center, we're going to love one another and we're going to love you and we're going to see the world changed as we go out to serve you in your love and in your grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen.